Chapter 30.
Cap'n Tram and Clog woke feeling tremendously braced. He drank a flagon of seaweed ale, devoured a huge platter of pickled whelks and cockles, then sat back rebraiding some plaits on his chest. There was a gentle knock on the longhouse door.
Is that you, Crass Tooth?
Clog called out without looking up from his task.
Any sign of Badrang yet, matey?
The door creaked open and Badrang stood framed in the doorway, sunlight pouring in around him.
Get your brady behind off my chair, Clog.
The corsair was so surprised that the chair fell over backwards as he tried to lurch up. Dust rose in a golden shower of motes around him as the tyrant of Marshank strode across and placed a none-too-gentle footpaw firmly on his bloated stomach.
Go on, Clog. Ask me how I got here.
How did you get here?
The corsair spluttered from his position on the floor. Badrang smirked, pressing down harder on Clog's stomach.
If you had as much brain in your head as you had fat in your guts, you'd know. I came in through the tunnel that the slaves escaped from. You can go both ways through it, in or out. Obviously you didn't think of that, swillhead.
With a sudden move that belied his bulk, Clog wriggled free of Badrang's paw and ran for the door, shouting,
Crasstooth, Grizzle, Fox! On the crew! Badrang's here!
The tyrant stoked right at the fallen chair and sat in it, smiling.
Shout your thick head off, bucko! You'll get no help!
Clog stood for a moment, glaring at the horde soldiers surrounding the longhouse. Then he whirled to face Badrang.
You foul-hearted blackguard! You murdered all me lovely crew!
Badrang sniffed the empty seaweed ale flagon, wrinkled his nose in distaste, and pushed it away from him.
Hardly, but I could have. It's no trouble tying up a crowd of idiots who've drunk themselves to sleep on beetroot wine and seaweed ale. As for those two dozy sentries you left posted on the wall top over the gate, they've got lumps on their heads the size of gull eggs. Did you actually think that you could take Marshank from me?
Clog's attitude changed like a breeze at sea. Throwing his paws wide, he grinned in what he hoped was a disarming manner.
Matey, who said anything about taking your fortress from ye? Why, I was only minding it until you returned after chasing those pesky slaves. Me and my crew was acting duty-bound as caretakers. Oh, by the by, you didn't catch the slaves, did ye?
Badrang shook his head coolly.
I didn't have to. Come with me and I'll show you why.
The corsair crew sat in ranks at a corner of the courtyard, tightly bound and closely guarded by the tyrant's horde. Badrang led Clog to the centre of the courtyard. The pirate stoke was forced to stand silent and listen to Badrang's announcement as he addressed the crew.
Pay attention, you corsairs! You have three simple choices. One is slavery. I have no slaves to serve me at the moment. Two is death. You can stay loyal to Clog, and for that, you will be executed. The charges are attempting to steal Marshank from me and siding with my enemy. The third and final choice is that you swear allegiance to me and join my horde as soldiers. Well, what is it to be?
The fox Crosstooth struggled upright.
Cut these ropes from me. I'll serve under Lord Badrang's colours.
It did not take long for the others to follow.
Aye, set me loose. I'm with Crosstooth.
Me too, matey. I'll be an old beast.
No point in being a corsair without a ship.
Better than being a slave or getting executed.
Clog shook his head sadly.
'Twas an evil day when I landed up on this coast. Boggs, Grizzle, Crosstooth, was I ever a bad captain to ye?
No, Captain, you was a good'un. We had some rare old times together.
You just made too many mistakes, Tram and Clog.
Aye, when it's sink or swim, a creature has to look after himself, Captain. No hard feelings.
Whilst the new horde members took the oath and signed articles with Badrang, Clog was led off to the prison pit by two soldiers. He stared down into the hole miserably.
So it's come to this. Being slung in an hole like a worm.
They nudged Clog towards a barrow with a spade in it.
You're not going in it. Lord Badrang's orders are that you must fill it in. Think yourself lucky. Instead of execution, he's given you the chance to become an honest, hard-working slave. And don't fret. There'll be work aplenty for you.
Feldo was training an army to attack Marshank. The fair and freedom fighters. Their flag waved proudly over the camp on the cliffs, a green banner with the representation of a flying javelin severing a chain. Roanoke shook her aching paws.
I hope they don't want uniforms as well. It took me hours to make that flag, rummaging through our costume box and sewing this bit to that. Does look rather good, though.
Balor broke off from drilling a marching column. He swaggered jauntily across and threw Roanoke an elaborate salute.
All present and correct, ma'am. What time you serving us stout creatures some jolly old luncheon, what? An army marches on its stomach and all that, you know.
The badger turned her eyes skyward as if seeking help.
Ooh, it's a wonder you can do any marching at all with that stomach of yours, your great flop-eared feedbag. Don't ask me, go and see the cooks.
Balor marched off, a blaze of military colour in the uniform he had designed for himself from the troop's wardrobe. He sang to keep himself in step.
All the ladies smile at me, look it there, look it there. He's a fine, dashing figure of a hare, of a hare. He'd fight off a horde alone, he's a warrior to the bone. Feed him plenty and you'll never have a care, have a care.
Feldo laid a lance on his throwing stick. The group he was training followed his actions, laying lances on their sticks as he instructed them.
Arm right back at shoulder level. Paw, gripping stick firmly. Lean your head in. Take sight at the target along the javelin shaft. Wait on the back foot, paw, and throw!
The small hillock, daubed with the likeness of Badrang, was pincushioned by 18 lances. Keeler picked up a pebble, demonstrating to his group.
See? An ordinary stone. But it can become a weapon. In paw-to-paw combat, you can use it held tight as a club. Hit the foe with it as hard as you can, or you can throw it. Watch!
He hurled the pebble and struck one of the lances on the hillock. The mouse called Juniper held up a sling.
Look what our Barkjohn gave me. What is it, Keeler?
The otter took the tough fine thong, shaking his head in admiration as he fitted a pebble to the tongue at its middle. He swung it experimentally, testing its balance.
This is a fine sling. Give me a target to throw at.
Juniper pointed to the hillock.
Hit one of those lances like you did when you threw the pebble.
Crack! No sooner had the words left Juniper's mouth than Keeler sent the pebble whistling from its whirling sling. It struck a lance, snapping it near the point with a cracking impact. Keeler wound the sling round his paw with a happy smile.
I'll go and see if Barkjohn can make us more of these.
Gouchy and Caston had a good number of long poles, sometimes used by the rambling rosehip players when they were erecting an improvised tent. Trefoil had suggested that they would make good pikes, using the pointed ends which had served as tent stakes. Buckler, his injured shoulder still bandaged, drilled a group in the uses of the pike.
Pikes up, pikes down, pikes forward, charge.
Celandine sat dabbing her paws in rosewater.
Silly creatures, you'll either get hurt or have nasty rough paws from using those great long things.
She found herself looking down the point of Gouchy's pike.
Off to the cookhouse and help out if you don't want to train as a fighter, little Missy Fustail.
Balor waggled his ears at Tulgrew, Purslane and Geam in a very persuasive manner.
Top of the morning, cooks. When does a chap get some fodder round here?
The baby Fuffle was dressed in an oversized apron, tucked up twice at his middle. He was spreading honey on scones with a wooden spoon. Tulgrew pointed in his direction.
Don't ask us, Balor. Put in your request to Quartermaster Sergeant Fuffle over there.
The tiny mouse waved the spoon sternly at the hare.
Fuffle say, back to work or I'll chop your tail off.
Balor backed away from the sticky spoon-wielding infant.
Not said, old lad. Nods as good as a wink to a starved warrior. I say, Purslane, you got a very violent offspring there.
Lunch was a simple affair. Leek and cabbage soup, summer salad, followed by honeyed scones and strawberry cordial. The midday sun was tempered by a gentle breeze from the sea, as the newly formed Fur and Freedom fighters sat about eating and taking their ease. Roanoke, Balor, Feldo and Barkjohn held an open discussion on the merits and drawbacks of going into battle. Barkjohn and Roanoke were not convinced that it was a good idea.
Feldo, you haven't got a tenth of the force that Badrag commands.
The old squirrel cautioned his son.
We're not strong enough yet. Lives could be lost needlessly in an attack on Marsh Hank.
The strong young squirrel put aside his food.
I'm not talking about pitched battle, Father. Lightning attacks are what I plan. Hit hard and fast, then vanish. What's the matter with you? I've seen the days when we were slaves that you would vow vengeance on Badrang and all his kind.
You both have valid points, Feldo. but I agree with your father. We are not warriors, nor have we been into battle before. Granted that Badrang is evil and Marshank needs destroying, but you must realise that his horde are all seasoned killers and trained fighters. All that you have at the moment is a small bunch of freed slaves and some strolling players.
Balor finished off a scone, licking honey from his paws.
But we freed the slaves, didn't we? Brome walked right into old Bad Bottom's fort and bluffed it out. Who's to say we can't become a first-rate fighting force and whack them for good? What do you say, Brome, old fella?
Brome avoided Feldo's eyes.
I can't say much. I may be good at bluffing, but I'm not a warrior. I know that now. I don't want to see creatures killed, particularly our own.
Feldo ruffled his young friend's ears.
Then you can become a healer, one who cares for the wounded. It takes a brave beast to dash about in battle doing that.
Old Guillaume dipped a scone in her cordial to soften it.
All this talk of fighting and killing. Why don't we just find another place far away from here where we can enjoy life? Leave Badrang to his own devices and forget about the old nasty thing, Marshank and these shoals.
Suddenly, Purslane was up, her eyes blazing.
I'll tell you why. Because if Badrang is still there and Marshank still stands, then other creatures will be captured and taken as slaves. I have a little one, and I would fight with my life so that he could grow up a free creature.
Keela sprang up, applauding her brave words.
Well said, Mom. We know what it's like to live under the whips of a tyrant. It's not life, it's living death.
Feldo turned to his father and Roanoke.
These creatures have said it all. I could not have spoken more strongly. I will lead the first attack tonight.
Barkjohn looked up at his strong, fearless son.
It has been in you to do this thing since you were a little one in the quarry, helping me to haul rocks. May the seasons and good fortune aid you, Feldo, and keep those under you safe.
Roanoke shrugged, knowing protest would be useless.
What can I say, except break a leg?
Feldo looked puzzled until Balor explained.
In the acting game, it's our way of saying good luck to a chap.
The baby Fuffle waved his wooden spoon.
Break both legs.
There was laughter and applause for the infant's wisdom.
Chapter 31.
Travelling with Baldred was a real delight for Martin. The owl chose the prettiest paths and was friendly with every creature who dwelt beside them. They stopped often to eat the abundant fruits that grew everywhere. At one place, Baldred showed them a tree laden with shiny dark red cherries. The temptation was too great to resist. They stood beneath the low-hanging branches, plucking the juicy cherries and gobbling them down.
Wonder could I make cherry soup out of these here?
Grum ruminated. Baldred spread a wing.
There's lots of cherry trees round here. Take your time, enjoy them. I'll be back in a short while.
She flew off to map new features and talk with other creatures. They lay beneath the tree,